I'm going to go ahead and move on to the question and answers from registrants. Joan Lucy gave me 23 questions for me to answer. There are a couple that I didn't answer, and so I told Joan Lucy, and then so she supplied the answer. So she will put those particular ones, I think 5 and 16, she'll put them on in chat. All right. So, and I hope this works the way I want to set it up too. Oh, good. Okay. So, we're in business. So, question one, do you know how Cantonese dialects like Taishanese or Zhongshan dialects are forming characters for the unique vocabulary? As far as I know, they aren't, in large part because use of vernacular written Taishanese or Zhongshanese is rare to almost non-existent. If there are such materials online, I would love to know about them. So let me know. My email address is chan.9@osu.edu. Okay, two, do you think that there are similar tools like the book Chinese, or however you pronounce it, for us to associate the characters in the Cantonese equivalent? I'm afraid I'm not familiar with such a book for Cantonese, but if you read the comments in Amazon.com, because I took the time to look up this book, because I hadn't seen it before, there are pros and cons in the approach that the author, Xiaolan Xue, had taken. And lastly, the approach really isn't new. Teachers often do something like this in beginning Chinese courses, in introducing Chinese characters as a mnemonic device to help students learn, as a fun way to start being introduced to writing Chinese characters. Three, my father said Hambalang was low-class colloquial Cantonese, and I defended the books by arguing that what we speak, that's what we speak typically. Is there any truth to this? For example, Hambalang itself is familiar, yet Chinbo is what I usually naturally choose instead. My answer, Hambalang is a wonderful colloquial Cantonese word that is used in everyday colloquial speech. If one is writing down precisely verbatim what one has said, then by all means use Hambalang or any other orthographic variant. Regarding the website, https://hambalang.hk, founded in December 2019, and I was looking this up on the web because I was not familiar with this website. A lot of time and effort have been put into preparing materials and making them available online at the website to help in the learning of Cantonese. Speaking, listening, reading, and writing. I will leave more discussion on this to the dedicated teachers connected with Cantonese Alliance like Joan Lucy. Four, do you think pattern is important? I'm a teacher and tempted to tell my students a better, prettier way to write the characters, but at the same time, I want to encourage them to write more, and their short order seems to be more effective to help them remember the shape of the characters. But I fear that I don't tell them to change, now they will only remember their own short order. Should I teach it? There are lots of apps or modules within language learning software programs that include short order, and these could be fun for students to look at and play with. Short order and directional strokes go together. Having a good foundation on that, I think, is important. How much to emphasize, that's something for teachers to determine in balancing between correct short order and maintaining students' enthusiasm for learning the language. And I think that's a delicate balancing act. And I think that's something teachers, you know, probably had a lot of worry about how to handle that. Okay, five, and this is one that the, I currently imported textbooks directly from Taiwan to teach my fifth grader Chinese because the ones from Hong Kong lack the intensity. Do you have any recommendations for curriculum or textbooks that I want my children to achieve native level in Cantonese? My answer, many of the attendees here who teach Cantonese, especially to elementary school children, would be better equipped to respond to this question. So Joe Loki, you can share your links with in chat with everyone.
Yeah, I have just posted the links.
Okay, so you guys can download it later. Okay, at OSU, our instructors teach conversational Cantonese to university students. As a result, our textbook choice differs greatly from those that would be used for teaching young children. Okay, so I had no answer for you guys. Okay, six, why is that the word for heart was taken out of the standardized word for love? Do you call transwriting words or characters? So as I mentioned, I took a little stab at this part of my presentation. So, and so this is a little bit repeat here, right? So you can see that regarding the removal of heart component, this predates the 20th century script reform. That the orthographic form without the heart component predates the script reform of the 20th century can be seen in the 1716 Kangxi Dictionary, which is a useful source for orthographic variants that have been used over the centuries, right? So I did an enlargement, and you can see that it doesn't look like it looks like some kind of little dots kind of thing, but clearly there's no clear case of the heart in those two with the circle in green. And that may be somewhat like English dictionaries that provide two spellings, for example, for plow and plow. Since I come from Canada, I'm familiar with those for the same farm tool. But the English dictionaries also add information on the source of the spelling differences, one being American English and the other British English. And at least at the time that I was learning English in Vancouver, Canada, we used the British one. And then in terms of the word and character, the Chinese would be zi and zi. So the thing with zi is it's strictly from the written form. So you can say, okay, how do you write the character, right? How do you read that character? In case of word, then it more broadly, you can be pronouncing, reading it, whatever. Right? So it's a broader term. And you can talk about, we can write down the word, or you can say the word, right? Okay. So six, while characters like gun, yo, which are specifically adapted to Cantonese, are well known by Hong Kongers, to what extent are they known and used by Cantonese speakers in mainland China and even the Cantonese diaspora, such as Cantonese speakers in Vietnam or Malaysia? My answer, I think this might depend very much on individual Cantonese speakers in mainland China. So if you are focusing on, what it should be speaking in Putonghua and writing in Great Fancy standard characters, then you may not be so focused on trying to learn these funny characters. The government does not encourage the use of characters that are non-standard. As a result, it takes special effort and interest of mainlanders to take time to be exposed to vernacular written Cantonese and to use it himself or herself. Neither for those in the Cantonese diaspora, be it North America or Vietnam or Malaysia. I noticed over the years, for example, the entertainment magazines distributed in Vancouver seem to have reduced the use of vernacular written Cantonese. I think the web is an important place to quote unquote introduce written Cantonese and other vernacular forms for anyone browsing the internet. Take, for example, the link on the web provided below, which lets Cantonese speakers see how one might write Cantonese. The link uses only those characters that are in standard Chinese, but the question that is posed is clearly intended to be read in Cantonese. Notice that in the video itself, the vernacular character for sleep, fun, is used there. That netizens are introduced to two graphic forms for this item, the one with and the one without the moves upon the I radical, right? Okay, so you could potentially passively learn some vernacular Cantonese characters. For example, I asked my mother, just out of curiosity, to see how she answered. I asked her that she know the vernacular Cantonese characters. My mom said no, but of course she does. She can read them all, right? Seven. Colloquial Cantonese is quite different than written, and I had difficulty when learning it as a child. What are the reasons that written never followed the spoken word? That's a huge topic that both the history of the Chinese language changed over time and distance, and which branch of the Chinese language was selected to serve as the standard spoken form on which the written is based. My own first exposure to written Cantonese were the lyrics in the old black and white Cantonese art perfume produced in Hong Kong, as shown here. I went with my grandparents every Sunday for a long time to watch the old films in the movie theaters. At that time, they were operating in Vancouver, Chinatown. They've all been torn down now. The lyrics allowed the audience to follow the singing. So, but you see there are, no, let's see, what is it? Dan Kui Hai Goi, Goi Mian Mu Yi. So, you know, this is the Yang Jia Jiang, right? So Lam Jia Sing is the one who was playing that role. So that was my first exposure, because we didn't have any comic books in vernacular Cantonese and all that kind of thing. Eight, is there any organization that seeks to standardize written colloquial Cantonese? No, and that is because Cantonese is not used as some kind of written standard in education, government, etc. And even with standardization, there will still be non-standard graphic forms for abbreviations, etc. The current existence of traditional and simplified characters adds an extra wrinkle to this. One thing interesting to watch over the years is to see which variant forms become more dominant in usage than some others. Our choice of input methods, e.g. if you use Pinyin direct Cantonese, the vernacular characters will not appear so readily. We're influenced by different sources that make their own selection of orthographic forms, be it the Google voice typing or et cetera. Nine, how do you see the use of made up words by alphabets to replace Cantonese words which do not exist or not very commonly known? For example, how here, I don't know that term. I think as long as people have fun expressing themselves in writing in Cantonese, I'm all for it. When one is writing very casually and colloquial on the internet, for example, part of the fun is being creative and just enjoying oneself. There's always a time and place for different types of activities. Someone who is a teacher teaching Cantonese, for example, may want to avoid introducing mixed scripts and may choose to use only the forms introduced in the textbook, especially for younger speakers or younger learners. 10, how successful are other Chinese languages at developing their own writing, e.g. Taiwanese, Hokkien, Hakka, Shanghainese, etc.? In Taiwan, in recent years, the government has included the learning of one's mother tongue. Taiwanese, for example, is now taught in schools and as a result provides a set of standard characters. There are differences of opinion on choice of characters, a topic of interest to my advisee, who wrote his thesis on this. And that's, I gave her a copy, so she has it. And Paul is actually in the audience here. With respect to vernacular writing in the mainland, the government discourages non-standard characters. As a result, efforts would be much more sporadic. Keep in mind that prior to the founding of the PRC, vernacular writing in various Chinese dialects have existed, such as what I had mentioned earlier, the Suzhou dialect in Fenglong, Shangge, the use of Chaozhou and Quanzhou in the Ming Dynasty opera script Li Jingji, or sometimes referred to as Chen San Wu Niang. I think that one valuable activity for learning to read the vernacular written language is to read folk literature and sing the words for nursery rhymes, lullabies, etc., etc. 11, what do you think should be the next step in conserving Cantonese? How does Hong Kong Cantonese and Guangzhou Cantonese differ? As the adage goes, use it or lose it. If no one is interested, then the language will eventually disappear. Language vitality, and that's something that Chen Li Tong has done his dissertation work involving, is an important issue that I address in my courses, especially in my Chinese dialects course, but also in my other Chinese linguistic courses as well. Hong Kong Cantonese and Guangzhou Cantonese differ in numerous ways, a topic that would take time to elaborate. These include the sound system, e.g. loss of the high falling tone in the yin-ping tone in Hong Kong Cantonese, tone mergers that are taking place in Hong Kong, vocabulary, especially the greater co-mixing and using of English in the Hong Kong case, right? Okay, and then 12, blah, blah, blah. There's a lot of things there. So you're talking about the, materials, right? So my results, the work of Chinese language teachers is so very important. And likewise, a lot written about, the issues of, teaching. So, and I agree with that. I'm giving a copy of the PowerPoint to John Lucy. So anyone who would like a copy can have it. So you can read the whole text there. Okay, 14. What resources or websites would you recommend to check whether a character used in Cantonese was used in the past as a norm, imperial or ancient China, like Fan in Fan Gao, versus characters that are Cantonese characters like Mo? Fan Gao is also written as Fan Gao with the Mu Zipang, right? With that as a vernacular Cantonese character, and I show in the question 6. The etymon is Quan, but in Cantonese, that character is pronounced Quan and not Fan, as in the colloquial word for to sleep, Fan Gao. The selection of a phonetic loan or the creation of a vernacular character with the Mu Zipang presumably serves to avoid the problem of needing to know when to pronounce that character as Quan or Fan. I think comparable situation in English would be such words as Bao, Bo, or reread, and so you have to look at the context to know which one to how to pronounce it, and that would be the same problem. And so perhaps to avoid that problem, then rather than use the banzi, then use some other word, be it phonetic loan or creation of a new character, so that the pronunciation is unambiguous, right? Regarding the question, I'm not aware of such sources. That the Kanyu Fangyan Su Hui, or the other character, may be a helpful resource. It tries to inform the reader of the original character when other graphic forms are found as well. But note that the written Cantonese character with the written character, but using a simplified for Yan, is not in the Unicode. So I had to put it in there as a graphic symbol. So here you are with the Hanyu Fangyan Zi Hui, and you can see that in the two year dialect sites, Guangzhou and Yangjiang, they use Fan, right? And then you see down here the information provided by Hanyu Fangyan Zi Hui. 15. Is there a trend towards divergence convergence between standard written Chinese and other written forms of Chinese varieties, especially Cantonese? How does it manifest itself? Thank you. If there is a trend, I would think it would be convergence, given the heavy push by the Chinese government for standard characters and the use of Putonghua. This is also true between the use of standard Cantonese and some more rural varieties of Cantonese. For example, my paternal grandmother used Gaha, while the rest of the family used Yiga. This can involve the gradual replacement of one form, one pattern with another. The post-verbal use of seen before, for example, may eventually be replaced by the pre-verbal placement. An interesting observation is that pre- and post-verbal in some people's speech, and that's something you might have noticed too. In that part of the transition, pre-verbal to pre-verbal and post-verbal, and then perhaps later on to just pre-verbal. The presence of pre- and post-verbal scene is not a recent phenomenon. I heard it in Guan Daheng's speech in the late 1950s when he played Wu Zong in the Cantonese opera, and I was surprised to hear him use it with scene before and scene after the verb. So it seems that yet for over half a century. 16, your task. Okay, so our Cantonese language teachers in this group are the best sources for such suggestions and tips. And so I leave it to her to deal with the tips on materials. 17, there are many Cantonese words which have the etymon but are very difficult to write, and people don't write them anymore. Do you have any idea how to promote the etymon, at least let others know how the original words can be written? I think it's important to keep in mind what I want highest priority for different purposes and at different levels. At the right level, students interested in digging deeper into the writing system of Chinese in general and vernacular written language can be encouraged to explore some etymons. So, and I don't think, you know, I wouldn't want to impose it. Can you, 18, can you talk about vowel consonant differences in Cantonese spelling between the 80s and today, as well as between, say, Hong Kong, Guangzhou, and immigrant speakers? This is a time period of almost half a century across three different communities. I will pass on this for this occasion where my talk focuses on written Cantonese. One difference between Hong Kong and Guangzhou Cantonese that I mentioned earlier is the loss of the high falling tone for yinping. Another example from segmental phonology might be the loss of labelization of velar stops before the o, and that's what gives you the the guo fruit for using for the that, as in the loss of contributing gong 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 and then got got, right? So rather than saying gong 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 got got, right? Okay, I think Guangzhou Cantonese speakers are likely to consciously or unconsciously adopt more standard Chinese for Zhonghua patterns in the spoken Cantonese. For example, I have a feeling Guangzhou Cantonese speakers may use ma as a sense, as a question marker, whereas traditionally Cantonese does not do so. Mind you, that may also be changing in Hong Kong as well. Do Cantonese speakers, do they say ni hao ma or not at all? Or maybe something someone up for ni hao ma? 19, if possible, can you also talk about systematic correspondences with other Chinese varieties, both within Yue and compared to other branches of Chinese? Wow, this is a very big topic, even if I limit it to vernacular writing. I touch upon this briefly in my presentation with the to sleep example from the page in the Hanyifang Yan Chihui. And that's a valuable source, albeit several decades old now, for comparison across the major regional varieties of Fangyan of Chinese. Now let's focus on the word to sleep across the Chinese dialects that I mentioned earlier. One choice that has not shown up explicitly in the Hanyifang Yan Chihui is mei, whereas both shui and kun do. So Yongshan dialect word for is mi. The graphic form is shown here as in the source, in the Pearl River Delta area. So only the dialects in the area for 25 entries, the 25 dialect sites. And in there, the Yongshan with Xu Qi Xiake, being the representative, is the only Yue dialect among the 25 that use me for to sleep. And Longdu, which is also included in that survey to indicate that it's Min, but not Yue, but it's one of the sites that is included. And this is located in Zhongshan district. And it's the only other dialect in that source that also uses Mi. And Mi is potentially an etymon in Dian'o, Northern Min, where it shows up in the Hanyifang Yan Chihui with phonetic long characters, the Mi, Qi, pronounced as Mi. And Yongshan Xue Qi, to me, it seems like it's likely borrowed the word from Longdu rather than the other way around. So basically, the character Mi for to sleep is a really old form. It goes all the way back to the Xu Jing. I just looked it up today, just to double check. Okay, 20. That the phenomenon of co-mixing of Cantonese and English also needs to be taken into account when writing Cantonese. I think that if the goal is to encourage and support the use of written Cantonese, whatever helps to increase folks' interest and enthusiasm in writing down what they say, I am all for it. Hong Kongers and increasingly mainland youth as well do a lot of code mixing. So for that to show up in their writing on the internet should be very natural. Precisely, that is how they talk. Writing down verbatim the speech in what is the slogan, Wo Shu Xie Wo Kou, is all about. 21, how do you determine the most appropriate sentence final particle for a sentence? I think the choice of sentence final particle begins with what is the spoken form used by the speaker, then determining the written form, which may have one or more orthographic variants. The choice is then up to the individual, or if this is a course, then what the teacher uses in the class. In the Cantonese course that we teach at Ohio State University, the focus is on conversational Cantonese. So we don't worry about what precise orthographic form might be chosen by the student. The textbook, of course, has a choice versus in the character portion of the textbook. 22, can I raise the following question? 1, how should we join hands to promote Cantonese? 2, what resources we have to promote Cantonese? What we promote, when we promote the written Cantonese, how to solve the problem that most of the native Cantonese speakers cannot write all the written Cantonese words? Now, for the first two, these are very valid questions. The first two are actually general questions and are precisely what Cantonese Alliance aims to do, find ways to promote Cantonese with help from members who can volunteer to help create and provide resources for the study of the Cantonese language, both spoken and written, as well as introduce various aspects of Cantonese culture, be it cuisine, learning about old Chinatown set up by the early Cantonese immigrants, etc., as some of the various means to promote Cantonese. So do join the Cantonese Alliance Discord server and the URL there. And please do check out the Cantonese Alliance website. Okay, you guys are here. And then for 3, I think this is where the venue is something very casual, then any method to write down what the speaker has in mind will be helpful, even if it involves, say, using some self-designed romanization, selecting a character that has the same sound as the target word, despite knowing that it really shouldn't be that word that is the use of phonetic loan, or inserting an English word, etc., to help complete the sentence that's primarily written in Cantonese. That is, the sentence is intended to be written in Cantonese. The goal is to communicate in Cantonese using what resources one has. In some ways, it's no different from learning Mandarin Chinese, putting down pinyin when they don't know how to write the Chinese characters. And the pinyin may be spelled a bit wrong, or they may insert an English word when they don't know the Chinese term. That's surely far better than a blank space, right? 23, and this is the last question. Do tech companies, for example, Google with its Gboard and translate apps have enough influence to effectively standardize written Cantonese? What are the societal implications of standardization versus diversity? I don't think companies can set the standard. I think the most that tech companies can do would be to popularize the use of certain graphs. Standardizing a set of graphs for writing Cantonese is a daunting task. There may be certain graphic forms that are more commonly used than others due to methods, fonts, apps, et cetera, et cetera. The more often some particular form is seen, and if they are easily accessed using whatever device or apps that one has, that may be what will help to determine the most frequently chosen orthographic form. But that's not standardization per se. Even governments setting standards don't necessarily result in everyone abiding by those standards, especially for casual, informal writing. Even if some orthographic variants are chosen to be the quote-unquote standard forms, they could still be informal, non-standard variants that may be used by the populace, not to mention the additional complication of the existence of traditional and simplified Chinese characters that are currently in circulation. At the same time, the more rigidly one insists on standards, the less fun people will have in writing the vernacular language. And the goal of promoting the use of vernacular Cantonese writing might be that much more difficult to achieve. So thank you.